Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with Rick Sterling and Larry, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us here on this July 31, 2021, for our latest edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We hope you've been listening for the past few weeks, and especially yesterday, because some really, really interesting information came out from the mouth of Rick, and we're going to continue on with that, and I think he'll give us a little recap of that as we go forward, but it was bordering on spectacular, and I think for those of you who have been listening regularly, you will note that. We have a website at spiritoftruthministry.net. That is our official website, and there you will find lots and lots of good writing by Rick Sterling and a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, published in 2007. We also have our secondary website, our original website. This is located at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, T, M, and there you're going to find lots and lots of good information, including on the must read section. You can go to the top and click on must read, go to the archives of that and look up a timing chart of the end, or just scroll down and you'll see it. It is listed today in our Facebook group page, Spirit of Truth Ministry group, on our episode notes, and you can just click on that and take a look. And the reason why we are posting that occasionally is because it definitively shows that we should all, if we were on the previous timeline, we would all be in heaven by now. So this just goes to show you that there has been a shift in the timelines, and that shift actually occurred in 2016, and we think that this is critical information for those of you who follow Jesus to understand and to know where we are and why we are where we are in time. Let's have prayer and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, today is a wonderful day to be alive. Here in sunny Southern California, I'm sitting outside on my front porch listening to the birdies sing and watching them feed at the bird feeder and thinking about how you care for us even more than we care for those animals that are in our charge, because you know that we can make a choice as to who we believe and who we don't. Father in heaven, put a hedge about us today as we search for the truth and as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, as we listen to the words of Jesus, and as we think about what it is that is going on in this world and place ourselves in it. I pray, Father, that you will reveal to us the entire truth about all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And do you want to put up Dr. Don and just say hi to him, Rick?
He's up.
He's up.
Are you,
good morning, Dr.
Are you
Don.
There, Dr. Don?
Good morning. Are you guys all at your respective homes this morning?
Good.
We are all in our respected habitations.
Okay. There's no, so there's no gathering of two. there's no gathering of two or three, and I'm among them, like Jesus said. There's no gathering this morning.
Well,
no,
as,
we are
as
we
Larry,
are a people,
ahead,
not
Larry.
A place.
That's right.
we are
gathered together in spirit.
Very
that's
good.
Right. And
I
that counts. The reason why we are doing this way this week is that I am, and yesterday I mentioned, I'm in the process of moving my daughter and her and my son-in-law and my grandson from Redlands up to about 2 miles from where we live here in Yucaipa. And the issue is pressing. They have to be out completely out of there today. And so we are waiting with bated breath to hear from Aaron as to the disposition of the timing of all of this. So I will be staying here as absolutely long as I can. And we will have a wonderful study. So, Rick, let's get going.
All right.
Giddy up.
And I don't hear the echo. Well, I do hear it, but it's very, very faint. And that's from your phone, Dennis.
Well, I don't know how I got my earpiece in.
Well, I can take my headphones off, and then I won't hear it, but then I won't be able to hear you either. So,
because I don't get any, I'm not hearing any echo at all.
Yeah, it's probably because I'm a fish show host, so... I'll just go ahead and see how well it goes.
Well, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and mute myself, and then if I want to make a comment, I'll come back in.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, I want to start today with two texts before we go into what I, a little bit better or a little more of explanation from yesterday. The reason that I want to start with this is that a lot of people that I talk to about a reality, and I mentioned this yesterday, talked about it a little bit, first of all, they don't really grasp the concept of an alternate reality. Most people believe that we live our life and that's our reality, and that the reality doesn't change for us per se in respect to the rest of the people of the world and so on, what's going on. They do grasp the concept of my example about missing the flight and that plane crashing, and you, because you missed the flight, you're not dead. Everyone on the plane died in the crash. So your reality, in effect, has been changed because you missed the flight. When you think about what we have just done, and when I say what we have just done, I'm talking about the people of the world, the whole world. With the election of Donald Trump, the reality for the deep state globalist satanic cabal changed as dramatically as the reality of the future of the person who missed their flight. And the person is still alive, but everyone else on that plane is dead, and they are still alive because they were not on that plane with the other passengers. The revelation describes a reality that was real. I mean, a reality is always real, but not, we don't necessarily experience it, because reality is always dependent upon what happens in the time and reality leading up to it. So I'm going to read a couple of texts. The first text I'm going to read is in Jeremiah 18, and I have read this text many, many times before. But as in my experience, people who I've read this text to them and they go, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I can see that. But he's speaking hypothetically, because when he says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. But then the text makes no sense. God told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. And he told him to go to the potter's house not to learn how to create a pot out of clay. He went to the potter's house for God to demonstrate that he has the prerogative to change what he sets about to do, just like the potter. And so I will read this text again, and our listeners here for Spirit of Truth Ministry, you probably understand this, but if you talk to someone else about this, I'm sure you will get the same response that I have had many times. So let's read it again. And it's Jeremiah 18, starting with verse 7. On occasion, I decree for some nation or for some kingdom that I will tear up, knock down, destroy. But if this nation against which I have pronounced sentence abandons its wickedness, I then change my mind about the evil which I had intended to inflict on it. On another occasion, I decree for some nation, for some kingdom, that I will build up and plant. But if that nation does what displeases me, refusing to listen to my voice, I then change my mind about the good which I had intended to confer on it. In that statement God made to Jeremiah, after Jeremiah witnessed the potter forming a pot with his hand, and it didn't turn out like he wanted it to, so he mashed it all back down again and started over, and it still wouldn't respond to him and his forming like he wanted it to, so he tossed it out into a heap of earth, of clay, and took a whole new lump of clay and started working with it. God is being very clear here. Now you could say, well, he's talking about children of Israel. Well, yes, but he's not just talking about the children of Israel, because he says, if some nation or some kingdom, he didn't say if Israel. He said if some nation or some kingdom. And we have proof with Nineveh. And I'm not going to go through Nineveh again, because you've all heard it. But just remember that God had decreed destruction for Nineveh. He didn't tell Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell them that if they didn't repent, he was going to destroy the city. No, he told Jonah to say, I am going to destroy the city. Now, I think that Jonah would have rather have done it the way, well, you know, God said he's going to destroy the city, but he does have the right to change his mind. And if you should have a change of heart, and if you should beseech the Lord and pray and ask for mercy, and then he could very well grant that for you. But Jonah told Nineveh exactly what God had told him, and the people and the king in Nineveh, they were the ones who changed their heart and humbled themselves before God and pleaded for a stay of the destruction. And God did. In Genesis 18, and I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you where you can find it, because we have a lot that we need to cover. But Genesis 18, 16 through 33, we have Abraham interceding on behalf of Sodom. And he bargains with these heavenly emissaries. And he's asking, if you find 30 righteous souls, if you find 20, if you find 10, if you find 10, and then verse 33, when he had finished talking to Abraham, Yahweh went away and Abraham returned home. So the promise was that if he could find 10 righteous people in Sodom, he would not destroy the city. Well, there weren't 10 righteous people in Sodom. Basically, the only person who wasn't wicked enough to be destroyed was Lot and his two daughters. His wife demonstrated that she was wicked because her heart was really in Sodom and not with her wife and daughters. Sodom was destroyed. But God had made a promise that if he could find 10 righteous people, he wouldn't destroy the city. Now you could say, well, he knew there wasn't 10 righteous people, so he was safe with that. Well, no. God made a promise. And if there were 10 righteous people in Sodom, he would not have destroyed the city. We think back to the Garden of Eden. The man and the woman. God had told them never to eat from the tree in the midst of the garden. And he told them what would happen to them if they did. They had a choice. And the choice that they would make would determine their future reality. If they obeyed God, like the lump of clay in the potter's hand would obey the shaping of the potter's hands upon it. Their reality would be what they determined it to be. And we know what that reality that they determined was. And that reality was affected by a being who needed a certain of reality to be real. He did not want them to obey God, and so he interposed himself in there to influence their choice. This is what the serpent has done throughout history. He used the same tactics on the children of Israel with great success. And the reality that the children of Israel experienced was the reality, that very similar reality or identical, I guess you could say that, to the man and the woman in the garden. They chose to disobey God. They did so for a period of time until God said, you have run out of time. Your requirement to become the kingdom of God is taken away from you. Now, what was the requirement for them to become the kingdom of God? It was the same requirement, the man and the woman in the garden, not the tree, to obey the word of God. God has said this all the way through. The law, do what I have required of you to do. In essence, the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Keep the Ten Commandments. But they continually broke the Ten Commandments, to the point where the king said, the kingdom is taken away from you. Now, what he meant by taken away is that because they had demonstrated that they would not and did not want to keep the Ten Commandments, the covenant of the kingdom, that what he would do is say, I have opened this up to everyone on earth, good or bad. If they will do what needs to be done to enter the kingdom of God, then they will be in the kingdom of God. And that was the requirement. So I'm talking about reality changes. And if you think of a reality as a road or a path, however it seems easy for you to visualize, we choose a path. And the world, the people of the world, choose a path. And if you think about it, the wicked or the self-serving or the selfish or those who are seeking authoritarian power and control over the populations of the world, they choose a certain path. And what God looks at is the numbers of those on any given path. These paths are we experience. Now, there are wicked in the world, but they are vastly outnumbered by people who care about their neighbor, about their community, the people in their nation. The caring people vastly outnumber those who care nothing about each other or other people, and all they want is money and power. and typically these people cruel. These people don't see truth as true. They see lies and fables, made up information, narratives as truth. And they actually see that as truth. They are living in the same world that those who care about one another are living in. And they have a time reality. And they know they know as much about the time reality, well, actually they know more, than as the people of the world. Now, Christians have, eschatologists and evangelists and pastors have studied the book of Revelation. Backwards and forwards, up and down, in and out, they have scrutinized Revelation. Now, the devil also knows about the end of days, and he had it all planned out. What God described to John about Revelation was precisely the plan that the deep state globalist satanic worshipers were planning for. They had it all set up. It was all ready to go. And it would have gone. It would have been the reality that we all lived in. And I say lived because as you read in the post that Dennis put here on Blog Talk Radio and on our Facebook page, we would all, that is all the righteous, those who had the seal of the living God, which incidentally you can read in Revelation 7, was a multitude of people which no one could count. And I would say, you know, that was probably in the billions. Out of 7 billion people, I would think maybe even 2/3 of those people would acknowledge the truth and accept the God, the Father, the Mother, and the Son in the heavens, the true God. But what God did was, he said, the people of the world are good, and I am not going to allow this small group of Satanists to drag these good people into a horrific great tribulation because they will slaughter and imprison these people. So, like he did with Nineveh, he didn't usher us into that great tribulation. The link to the end time chart that I put together, I actually put it together in 2004. It was published in 2010. Dennis verified that for me. It's based upon principles that I had noticed in Daniel and Revelation, time principles, actually. And I put the initial chart together, I think it was back in 98 or 99, which had the end of time in 2003, I believe. when that time came and went, it took about a year because I was determining whether I wanted to make another chart or not. But I went ahead and made one more, and I thought, I'm just going to make one more chart, and that's it. And that's why I called it the final chart. And I have not made another chart. Even when in 2012, July 11th, 2012 came and went, I didn't even think about making another chart. I had said, this is my final chart. I'm not going to make another one. I'm not going to get into that time loop. Well, if it doesn't happen here, it'll happen here, and it doesn't happen there, then it'll happen over there. No. Well, I see that as divine guidance. Because as it turns out, that actually was the time of the end. And in 2012, July 11, 2012, the Messiah would have returned and commissioned the faithful and wise bondservant and fellow bondservants to go throughout the world and call all those who loved God because they loved the truth, would listen to the truth, and be sanctified by the Holy Spirit and sealed. And we're given the total number of those who would be sealed, 144,000. Then the faithful and wise bondservant and fellow bondservants and the 144,000. They would go and wake up the kingdom of the heavens, which are those who kept the commandments of God, but hadn't completed the sanctification process. Like the children of Israel, the mixed multitude in the wilderness. They hadn't completed the sanctification process, and they all died in the wilderness. The next generation was allowed to enter, but not because they were righteous, but because God had promised Abraham that that land would be given to his offspring. Those represented by the 10 sleeping bridesmaids would be awakened from their slumber. This actually seems to fit what the Millerite Advent people from the early to mid 19th century had experienced. They'd gone out to meet the bridegroom, and the bridegroom hadn't come. They stayed together, they organized, and then they fell asleep, like everybody else. That didn't happen. And even though I did look to see when the certain timing would work again, and if you're interested, the end would have been in 2030. But I went through a time of decision. Was I going to get on with my life and stop doing what I had been doing? Well, I'd kind of stay, you know, sort of marginally involved, but there were plans I had, and I'd really put my life on hold up to that point to devote most of my life to learning the truth and sharing that with others. I decided to keep doing what I was doing because I knew that God is, and has always been leading me for something, for some reason. And lo and behold, it wasn't until 2019, 2020, that I began to entertain the idea of maybe we're not on the reality that Revelation describes. And I read Revelation 10 from a different perspective, and lo and behold, God opened the understanding, which just, it amazed me. Revelation 10 has always been a mystery, not only to me, but to most everybody who's studied it. They've tried to plug it into, oh, the seven churches or the seven trumpets or the seven seals or the seven somethings in Revelation. But the thing is that when John was ready to write it down, he was instructed not to write it down. Which means to me that John had not written it down yet. And that's why he was starting to write what he heard the seven thunders say. It also says that when he eats that little scroll, he's told it will be as sweet as honey in his mouth, but it will turn his stomach bitter. And I wondered what that could really mean. And the answer came. Ezekiel was told to eat a scroll, and that it would be sweet as honey in his mouth. There was no mention of what it would do to his stomach or what it would become in his stomach. It was sweet as honey in his mouth. And then he went on to prophesy about the specifications and measurements of the new temple and about the valley of dry bones and the restoration of the people of Israel. Incidentally, the valley of dry bones are one of those prophecies which will never see fulfillment because the kingdom was taken away from Israel for non-performance. And it's interesting to me, but not unexpected, that most Christians are still expecting that prophecy to come to fulfillment. But it won't. So in Revelation, the seven thunders must be a different, total different prophecy talking about a different reality than the one that Revelation describes. And I get that from the last verse of Revelation chapter 10. John says this, "Then I was told, you are to prophesy again, this time, about many different nations and countries and languages and empires or emperors." Many different. Prophesy again. This is really clearly to me, this is saying that there is going to come a point in time after a wait. You see what this mighty angel says in, well, we'll start with verse 1. "Then I saw another powerful angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were pillars of fire. In his hand, he had a small scroll unrolled. He put his right foot in the sea and his left foot on the land, and he shouted so loud that it was like a lion roaring. At this, seven claps of thunder made themselves heard, and when the seven thunderclaps had spoken, I was preparing to write, when I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, keep the words of the seven thunderclaps secret and do not write them down. Then the angel that I had seen standing on the sea and the land raised his right hand to heaven and swore by the one who lives forever and ever, and made heaven and all that is in it, and earth and all that it bears, and the sea and all it holds, the time of waiting is over. Time of waiting is over.
Rick, may I just synthesize something for our audience?
Sure.
Just to be clear, God gives prophecy, right? He gives prophecy to the people that are going to be affected by that prophecy down the road. So the prophecy is precedent or precedent, or it precedes the fulfillment. But if that people do not function properly along that timeline, antecedent to that not being, not fulfilling, not doing their job, the prophecy no longer apply. Because if it did, then God would not be allowing the people, these people, freedom of choice. If God has a prophetic timeline and he says, I'm going to fulfill that no matter what they do, the choice of the people doesn't matter. And so when Jesus told the leadership of the Jews in Matthew 21:43, I am taking away the opportunity to be the kingdom from you, and I'm going to give it to another people who will accomplish the things of the kingdom. So the understanding is there's precedent and antecedent. There is before and after.
Yes.
And the after is always not what God had said would happen if the people do not do what God has asked them to do. Does that make sense?
Yes. And
okay, good.
Here is another observation that I've made about Nineveh. And about what God said that I read in the Potter's House lesson, that what we read in Revelation is akin to what Jonah was told to tell the Ninevites. Destruction is coming. You can't escape it. It's going to happen in 40 days. Now, in Revelation, it didn't have it's going to happen in, but it's the same thing. This is the great tribulation such as never has been since there was ever a nation until that time and never will be again. And the message that we read, the prophecy we read in Revelation, is akin to what Jonah prophesied to the people in Nineveh. But what changed that? The attitude of the people. The attitude of the people toward God. And That's what has changed this here. And I believe the reason that God put the information or the secret in the information in Revelation 10 is he knew what the faithful and wise bondservant would do, and it's there. And while there's not a description of what the reality will be in that different prophecy, it will come when the mighty angel comes down and said, the time of waiting is over. And that new reality will see, the new reality will come. Now, I want to explain, we talk about two witnesses. God has talked about two witnesses, that two witnesses are important. I want to offer two witnesses to the change in reality and how that was brought about. You need to hear what I said yesterday, because I'm going to use what I said yesterday in support of what I'm just about to say. Yesterday I said that I will call them white hats, because a lot of people talk about the white hats, and the white hats are the good guys. So those are white hats. They knew what Satan's plan was. The cabal, the deep state satanic cabal, globalists, they knew what Satan's plan was, and Satan knew what God's plan was, except I don't know if he knew about the seven thunders. I don't know. That I don't know for sure. But what he did know for sure is that the fifth trumpet was supposed to blow in April of 2019 or May, April or May, the end of April, the beginning of May. And that would be his glorious moment before he went down to destruction, because he was going to have the portal open between the spiritual world and the physical world. And what that would allow is he could come out and be king. He would rule the world. His glory moment when he gave breath to the image. And those last 5 months, he would be unleashed on the world. But he recognized that it was not happening. It was 2019, it was April, and it was not happening. So he informed his human leadership council what they needed to do, that they could open that portal, because that portal was not going to open as previously thought. So on a certain day, at a certain time, in a certain geographical location, they had to do an occult ritual, a rite that would create the power needed to open that portal between the spiritual world and the physical world. And 4 days before that date, the White Hats knew what was about to happen. They burnt the Cathedral of Notre Dame to the ground. It was just a skeletal shell of itself, preventing the occult ritual rite of taking place and opening the portal. And the portal remains shut. and it will be shut for over 1,000 years. So for all intents and purposes, he will never get out of his prison in the abyss. Now, you can understand that that is like the plane crash. Now, there's a saying that, you know, when you say, okay, it's too late for that, that ship has sailed. Well, I now say that plane has crashed, because a ship that has sailed will return to port at some point in time, and then it can happen again. But a plane that has crashed and been completely destroyed and everybody on board has died in the crash, that won't come back to the airport and go over again. It's done. It will never happen again. And that's what I'm saying here. That plane has crashed and it will never fly again. This is what Gene Decode said when asked by Nicholas Dinneman, well, how do you know that we went to a different reality then? And he said, because the Notre Dame Cathedral was burnt down and they could not open the portal. We changed the reality. And his exact words were, the people of the world were not wicked. They cared for one another. This is what I've been saying for the last, I don't know how many years, but specifically the last year and a half as an explanation to say why we're not in what Revelation describes and why what we're going to have is what Revelation 10 doesn't describe, but infers. So there's two witnesses to the fact that we have left the reality of what Revelation describes, and we are on a whole different reality. And when the time when we will find out what that reality is when the faithful and wise bondservant has been given the information that the seven thunders said, that are written on that little scroll, that was sweet as honey in his mouth. Now you may be wondering, well, then, okay, I can understand sweet as honey in his mouth, and that sounds like a really wonderful, beautiful future for the world. But what about turned his stomach bitter? Well, there is, I believe, coming in the near future, a cosmic catastrophe that will wipe out all life on Earth. But don't worry, because God will ensure the safety and security of everyone on Earth at that time. And if it's taking them all, yep, go ahead. We don't have much time, but go ahead.
I know. I was just thinking about the 1,000 years that Satan is going to be locked in the abyss. And then he is going to be given the key to open it by an angel.
No. That plane has crashed.
Well, I know.
That plane has crashed. He's not getting out of the abyss.
Well, that's what I mean. The reason why he is not getting out of the abyss, like it says in that particular part of the prophecy in Revelation, is that, just as I said before, that is now made moot by the fact that things have changed.
Yes.
And again, we have to put ourselves in a different perspective.
Now, we are told about the 1,000 years. Now, most Christians, if not all Christians, believe that 1,000 years is here on earth with 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. But no, I believe, because this is what it would indicate, is that the righteous are taken into the heavens to the planet where God dwells, where his throne is, where Elijah went and where Enoch went. And that everyone will be safe on his planet, his home planet, when the cosmic disaster wipes out all life on Earth. And I just want to mention this, and you can take it for whatever you want. But there seems to be some good evidence that there have been people who have time traveled. And I'm just going to say this. Gene Decode said this, that the time travelers going into the future say that in 2045, what they see in that future, in that time, is a sterile Earth. No life, not even bacterial life. A sterile Earth with no one, nothing on it, no trees, no plants, no water, no people, no bacteria, nothing. And every time they go there, that's what they see. So I'm not saying anything other than that that is what they see in 2045. So I guess that remains to be seen. But here is my point. We are not on the reality of Revelation that describes the mark of the beast, the what would be the 144,000 Revelation 14. There may be 144,000, but not in the context of Revelation and the three angels' messages and the six trumpets. Now, the seventh trumpet is different than the sixth, because what the seventh trumpet announces is that the kingdom of the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. So the announcement that is made when the seventh angel sounds must happen in any reality. And I believe that's why in Revelation 10, it is mentioned that when the seventh angel, in the days when the seventh angel sounds, the secret intention of God will be manifest, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Dennis?
Thank you, Rick. And thank you all for being here. We encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and look around. And you can see the chart at spiritoftruthministry.net/S-T-M in the must-read section. We encourage you to join us a week from Friday for another, at 10 a.m. for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today at 10 a.m. for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. We hope you have a great day, and we'll see you all next time.